Gopher Gridiron Radio is brought to you by the Goal Line Club. The Goal Line Club has their game previews. The next one is October 28th at 11:30 at Jack's Cafe. So if you're coming into town or you're just looking for a good excuse to get ready for the game, sign up for this game preview.
It is $45 for non-members, $30 for members. You get to support a strong Gopher establishment at there at Jack's Cafe. You get to hang out with the Goal Line Club members. You get to have so many different amenities. So if you want to learn more about that tailgate coming up now, just next week, go to goalineclub.org and then click on events at the top of the page.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to Whiteout Week as the Gophers travel to Happy Valley this Saturday night to take on the number 16 Penn State Nittany Lions. It's an interesting game for both teams, both coming off a kind of a disappointing loss, Minnesota 2 consecutive. And Penn State just got mollywopped in Ann Arbor the previous week. But before we get to that, Luke, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. You know, had a little bit of a surprise at work today, but we worked through it.
Well, I'll tell you then, some of us got to get out in a tree stand this morning.
Oh,
I know. First of all, I'll tell you, not all heroes wear capes. We had to get some things done last night so that we could go out this morning, and then we couldn't go out this afternoon because we got to record the podcast here, but I'll tell you, it was refreshing to be back in a tree stand. It was a balmy 17 degrees from where I hunt along the St. Croix River, and didn't get to see Mr. Big, but had plenty of deer within 15 yards of me. And I'll tell you, even though my significant other tells me I smell sometimes, the deer certainly didn't tend to notice.
Well, I hope that you get that opportunity to harvest the deer of your choice and your liking. It should be
a good day for you. I've gotten to know like some people via the direct messages on Twitter just to talk about deer hunting and whatnot. And so that's where it's been interesting. I got a couple people that will text me when they go out now, and it's kind of trying to figure out where things are at, but you just never know who you're going to forge a relationship and what you're going to bond over. So that's where for you aspiring bow hunters, after it's like 79 in thunderstorming on Sunday, Luke, which can we talk about that for a second?
That was funny.
Like it's going to be like, I'm looking at the forecast here for the Twin Cities. It's like a high of like 78, but then on Tuesday it's going to be 48 again. So this fall like weather can't figure out what it wants to do. But for those of you going out in a tree stand or a duck blind, good luck.
All right, so let's get into this specific game against the Penn State Nittany Lions in Happy Valley. As many of you know, we've been talking about this for quite some time. This is the whiteout game. This is something that Penn State does annually where they have their entire crowd wear white. And it usually makes for a great visual, especially from like the drone and or blimp that might be ahead of, above the stadium. So it'll be a fun, raucous atmosphere with over 100,000 plus probably to watch this game. It'll also be featured on ABC of their game of the week. So some good national exposure for the Gophers, an opportunity to play, you know, a ranked opponent once again. And we really should get into injuries, Ryan, because this becomes, as it always does in college football, a bigger storyline as the season progresses.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something to where, I mean, what do you think before I give my thoughts?
You mean just in the Tanner Morgan situation or just injuries in general?
I mean, I guess both. I mean, that's going to be the elephant in the room either way.
I mean, given what we've heard, I sort of suspect he won't play. And given the visual that we saw, you know, the fact that they have a cart and then they had to wait for him after because he had to go to the hospital, wasn't able to just wait specifically to seek medical protection after getting back. So I would suspect that he won't play in this game. I have no inside knowledge on that. That's just my speculation. But stranger things have happened. So I doubt he plays. Obviously, Chris Ottman-Bell's not going to play. Nobody's healthy at this juncture of the season, but you know, the fact the Gophers are going to go into a whiteout with what I would assume is a redshirt freshman quarterback should make for an interesting game. And for all those of you that were clamoring for a QB change, you got your wish, folks.
Well, here's the thing is on both sides of the ball are just both teams. They're led by a six-year quarterback who neither fan base particularly likes, and they want to go with the freshman quarterback who's more highly touted. Because on the Penn State side of things, you have Sean Clifford. Same two quarterbacks in this matchup in 2019, but last week against Michigan, it's suspected that Sean Clifford had a right shoulder injury, and he was sidelined for the two fourth quarter series against Penn State, and their freshman, Drew Aller, who is the number one quarterback recruit in the 2022 class, so the true freshman class, burned his red shirt in his fifth game coming in there. So is it going to be Sean Clifford with a potential right shoulder injury, which I believe is his throwing shoulder? And if he does make the start, that would be his 40th career start for Penn State, wow, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of things, you have Tanner Morgan, who's pretty close to that number, I believe. But nobody likes him now because Minnesota lost two games. And when when a football team loses a game, everybody just points at the quarterback. And, well, there's a highly touted kid behind the scenes, the four-star from the 2021 class, Ethan Kaliakmanis, a.k.a. the Greek Rifle, that came in last week, threw two picks. So I don't know who's going to be starting a quarterback for either team. Like Luke said, we don't get PJ Fleck after Monday and the coordinators don't tell us anything on Wednesday. But if you had to make me make an educated guess, I would say that Ethan Kaliakmanis gets his first career start in this game. And boy, I hope you're ready, young man, because you're going to have 100,000 people in white shirts yelling at you in a night game on ABC. So hope you're up to the task. Now, for other injuries, I would say the only other thing that I've heard on the Penn State side of things is their starting left guard, something called Landon Tengwall, missed the Michigan game because he got injured in a pregame scenario, which can we speculate here for a second as two people who didn't watch the Michigan-Penn State pregame? How does an offensive lineman get so injured in pregame? He had to have, like, rolled an ankle or something, right?
I mean, it had to be a non-contact injury. You'd almost have to assume, right? Like,
I mean, that's the only thing I can really think of is some. So they might have a new left guard, but I mean, all eyes are going to be, as they should be each and every week, on the quarterback position. So there are four potential combinations of quarterbacks between Sean Clifford, Drew Aller, Ethan Kaliakmanis, and Tanner Morgan. And if I had to guess, Luke, I'm going to say Sean Clifford versus Ethan, but it's going to be something we won't know until probably 5:45 p.m. Central Time on Saturday night.
Yeah, should be an interesting storyline to watch. I know when we review the offense and probably into your keys to the game, we'll maybe talk a little bit more, Ethan. But just for the sake of the podcast going forward, you know, our podcast can age pretty quickly, but are we going to go forward with the idea that Ethan's starting? Because that's kind of where I was leaning coming in. So should, for the purposes of the discussion, let's go there.
I mean, we can. I just want to have you really learn this last name because I think you're going to be saying it for the next few years. And we screwed up Mo Ibrahim for so many years. So you're going to have to learn the Antioch last name, which is what, Luke?
Ethan Kaliakmanis?
Manis.
Manis. Oh, man. That's so subtle. Okay. Kathan. Ethan Kaliakmanis.
You're trying your best, and that's all that matters.
All right, thank you. Okay, let's get into this game. So the Gophers on the season, when they're on offense, they are averaging 34.4 points per game, 442 yards of total offense, 215 yards through the air, 227 yards on the ground. On the season, the Penn State defense is averaging, giving up 19.2 points per game, 378 yards of total offense, 242 through the pass, and 136 on the ground, Ryan. We are going forward with the assumption that Kathick, terrible. Ethan Kaliak-Manis is going to be starting for the Gophers in lieu of the injured Tanner Morgan. I think where we have to start now is what can we expect from a quarterback like him? I think it's safe to say that we're going to see a heavy dose of the run. We were going to see that anyway. But what interesting dimension will Ethan bring to this offense?
Well, here's my question is how much does the offense actually change between Tanner Morgan and Ethan? Like, are we going to see a little bit more read option? Or are we going to see a little bit more quarterback run than maybe we saw with Tanner Morgan? If that is going to be the case, I don't know.
I guess the question too would be like, do we see a little bit more Cole Kramer? You know, they could kind of go two running or two quarterbacks on the field as well. It's really hard to say. But with Ethan, you know, he is a little bit better athlete than Tanner. He also throws an absolute rifle, as you noted. He throws the ball really easily. So it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, he doesn't have as many reps with these guys. Personality-wise, Ryan, we have to comment on the personality. He is kind of like a carefree joker. And from what I've been able to gather from, like, media and social media and just like seeing him on the sidelines and whatnot, I said this in the post game breakdown, but in some ways, like, he just might be naive to everything he's going into, and that always isn't necessarily always a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't know, the carefree joker, I mean, I think it kind of gives off the wrong connotation, but I think it's just a young kid that's got to play, and he's just a young kid that has to figure out, like, this is what works and this is what doesn't work. And so that's where, now, is it an ideal scenario that his potential first career start is, like I said, whiteout game, Happy Valley? Absolutely not. But you wonder how Kirk Cerak is going to try to, if it is Ethan, going to scheme to him. Well, my other thing here would be, Luke, is, so people told me on Twitter, and if you read something on Twitter, Luke, it has to be right.
No, it's actually, if you read it on Wikipedia, it's right. And if you read it on Twitter, it's probably right.
Did you support Wikipedia yet? Isn't this their annual drive time?
I haven't yet. I don't usually. I support in time that I give into contributing towards our content.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. So I was told by the lovely people of the internet, who are never wrong, that if they just change the quarterback, the offense is going to magically take off with the passing game. So we're going to find out, because we'll see if the receivers attack or be aggressive. So I asked Kirk Cerak today, I go, what was your message to the receivers this week? And in a span of a 45-second answer, he used the word attack and aggressive 9 different times. I've never heard a Kirk Cerak quote like that, and I've been transcribing him for many years. So it said to me, Luke, that maybe Kirk Cerak and I are on the same page in terms of what is actually going on and what's the number one priority. Maybe that it doesn't matter who's throwing the football if the receivers just are going to play. Oh, what's the nicest way I can put this?
If they just don't want to,
we'll say tentatively, and, like, I don't know, they don't want to be aggressive on a football field. It's a contact sport. So to me, that's where I'm putting my crosshairs, putting everything on them. How do they respond against two really good corners in Joey Porter and Kalen King? But, Luke, I'd be remiss if I didn't note that if it is Ethan, well, you know what Minnesota's going to probably try to do a little bit more? Run the football, which they already do all right. And that's where last week against Michigan, they gave up 400-something rushing yards. Now, Minnesota's offense is not as quite as dynamic as what Michigan's is, especially in Ann Arbor in an 11 a.m. game compared to what Minnesota's going into. But I'm going to guess they're going to give Mo Ibrahim at least 30 touches in this game. Now, Mo needs another 100-yard game to tie Ezekiel Elliott for his 15th consecutive 100-yard game. That would, like I said, tie him with Zeke Elliott for the most all-time in Big Ten history for that stat. But I think, to me, it comes down to two things. Do the receivers want to show up under the lights, or are they just going to wither away? And can Minnesota's running game get going? Because, you know, Penn State has got to be licking their lips saying, we're just going to put 9 in the box.
All right, so just to close out here on the offense, we know that Penn State has strong corners. We know there's tape now of Minnesota struggling against man coverage, and interesting to see how Penn State can get after the passer. We also know that the Gophers have to find receiving solutions, and they can't, you can't have a defense that just takes out Daniel Jackson. You have to find a multitude of solutions. So whether that's going to be Brevin Stanford, Dalen Wright, Michael Brown Stevens, Lamecki Brockington, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody needs to step up and execute out of this group, because I do think they are going to be forced to throw the ball, because I just imagine everybody knows that they're giving the ball to Mo Ibrahim, or Ibrahim, and ultimately he
Ibrahim, for the love of God, Luke, we're gonna get you through these Gopher football.
I've been saying it wrong for like 3 years. Give me a break. Ibrahim. And ultimately they're gonna have to adjust and take what the defense gives them.
They will. And so that's where it's gonna come down to: can Minnesota run the ball enough? And I think they're going to be able to. But the question is, can they generate any freaking explosive plays through the passing game? Because they really haven't done it outside of the Daniel Jackson long catch and run against Purdue the last two games. They're going to need at least three of those against Penn State if they're going to somehow emerge from Happy Valley with a victory.
Gopher Gridiron Radio is brought to you by the Goal Line Club. As we mentioned, the previews are back. These are at Jack's Cafe, a longtime supporter of Gopher football. If you're looking for something to do on a Friday, maybe you want to sneak out of work a little bit early, head over to Jack's Cafe for lunch. Catch up on what's going to be happening in preview of the Rutgers game on October 28th. And enjoy a little lunch, then get back maybe at home and finish out the work day at home.
Yeah, again, in theory, you're going to get some insights from the Gopher football coaches. There'll be at least one there breaking down the previous game, looking forward to that Rutgers game. You'll get a fantastic meal again. You think Jack's Cafe, and you hear it's on University Avenue in Minneapolis. You think to yourself, boy, I don't want to have to deal with street parking, driving around and around and around and around. Well, they got their own free dedicated lot right there. You won't have to worry about that. You can show up right at 11:28 before this thing begins at 11:30. So if you want to learn more, go to goalineclub.org, click on events at the top of the page. $30 for members, $45 for none.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Penn State is scoring 31.5 points, 414 yards of total offense, 235 are through the air passing, and 179 are on the ground. Minnesota, conversely, is giving up 11.7 points per game, 263 total yards of total offense, 159 through the air, and 104 on the ground. Ryan, you and I have talked pretty extensively when we look at some of those games to be surprised at how little Purdue has been able to run the ball, but it does seem to me that they have been able to find a little bit of a spark in that backfield.
Yeah, they've got two talented freshmen there, one by the name of Nick Singleton and one by the name of Katron Allen. Both of them have about 60 to 70 carries. Both of them are averaging over 5 yards a carry. And both of them, if they get in the open field with green grass ahead of them, are not going to be caught. That's something that defensive coordinator Joe Rossi noted today, is no matter if the competition was against the MAC schools, the SEC, when Penn State played Auburn. Now, I know Auburn's a bad football team, but they still have SEC athletes on it. Or whether they're playing Big Ten competition, when Singleton and Allen, the two running backs, like I note, get into the open field, you're not going to catch them. So you need to get them down on the ground, and you need to make sure that they stay there. Now, again, we don't know which quarterback it's going to be, Sean Clifford, Drew Aller, but this was not a good offense last week against Michigan. Now, to be fair, I think Michigan's one of the top four teams in college football, but what is it going to look like, especially if it's Sean Clifford, and especially if Minnesota actually gets off the field here early in that first half? So say Minnesota forces a 6-and-out, a 3-and-out. Are we going to hear the Boo Birds calling for Drew Aller now that he's burned his red shirt? I'm not incredibly sure. So for me, it comes down to, and it was interesting talking to Joe Rossi about this today, I just bluntly asked him, so what did you learn from those four fourth down conversions against you? And have you ever had that happen to you in your career? Now, it's a little blunt. I get it. But like, he's like, well, you know, in my 22 years coaching, can't remember a game where that happened. But he's like, the sky is not falling. We gave up 6 third down conversions out of 17. And then they went 4 for 4 on fourth. And that's where he's like, we just have to make plays. And I get that. It's just, is this the place where they start making plays, is in this environment? And again, I think there's going to be some people that think that I'm overhyping this thing and that the environment isn't going to be anything too crazy. I think this environment at Penn State each and every year is so unique, especially for someone like the Gopher football team who doesn't get to play in something like that a ton, that a night game with 100,000 is a – it's a different beast, man, especially when you're the road team, especially when you're not going to be able to hear anything. Now, defensively, can they get a little pressure on the quarterback? Can they slow down the running game enough? Because this is, I don't think this is necessarily a prolific offense. They have some receivers by the name of Parker Washington. They throw to the tight end quite a bit. One of your favorite guys, Brenton Strange, who's got 16 receptions for 4 touchdowns leading the team, and then Mitchell Tinsley is their leading receiver via receptions, but I don't think this is a crazy good Penn State offense. I think Minnesota's defense is certainly going to be able to hang in with them, but the key is going to be, like it is each and every week, Luke, limit explosive plays. If you can make Penn State, like Illinois did, have 4 different drives of 14-plus plays, so be it. But you can't let Singleton and Allen get in the open field, and you can't let Washington and Tinsley beat you over the top.
Okay, one of the things I want to note is when I was looking at Stats Awards preview for this specific game, one statistic that stood out to me is that this Penn State offense really thrives on getting first downs on first or second down. Statistically, they're 92nd in the country when it comes to converting on third and fourth down success. Minnesota, conversely, I know we didn't see this in the Illinois game, and this is why I'm interested to watch this. This is a team that has not traditionally been terribly successful in converting third and fourth downs, whereas the Minnesota defense has where the Minnesota defense has been pretty good in terms of stopping third and fourth downs. Now, they didn't against Illinois, so let's see if the Gophers are able to rebound and put the Nittany Lions into long third down plays. And ultimately, you know, their EPA per rush still isn't particularly great. You know, this has ultimately been a passing offense. I know they've found some success with a couple running backs, but statistically, that hasn't borne out yet as the season has evolved. So it'll be an interesting test for this Joe Rossi defense and see if they can bounce back after probably their worst outing in recent memory under his watch.
Yeah, the only other thing I would note is Sean Clifford is more mobile of the two quarterbacks between him and Aller. And again, we don't know which one it's going to be, but if it is Aller getting his first career start, again, I would imagine they're going to try to throw some exotic looks at the true freshman. Again, he's very, very talented physically, but we're going to see how well the game is moving for him and how fast that it might be moving for him. So to Luke's point, if they can get them in some second and third and longs and make the quarterbacks beat him, which they're capable of doing, but they're both have completion percentages under 60%. So there's going to be some opportunities to make plays, and I think if Minnesota's going to come away with a victory here, they might need a defensive touchdown.
Ryan, I've been wearing this Caps custom hat a lot, as you know. Ultimately, as a dad, often I am in a big hurry. I don't have a lot of hair, but let me tell you, sometimes you just need a hat when you're trying to get kids to daycare.
Yeah, I don't know that I know a ton about that just yet, but I know that I wore my beanie in the tree stand actually this morning when it was about 17 degrees and it kept my head warm and I got a gigantic noggin. So that's where if you want to support the Angel Foundation that has partnered with Tanner Morgan, go to capscustoms.com. That is K-A-P-P-S customs.com. All the proceeds from these hats that feature obviously Tanner Morgan go to the Angel Foundation. They offer relief to adults with cancer and their loved ones through a variety of different ways. Again, you want to support the Gophers, you want to support their starting quarterback, and you want to support a foundation that helps people with cancer. You can go check them out at capscustoms.com. A lot of different varieties from snapbacks to different hats to the beanie like I wore in the tree stand this morning. That is capscustoms.com.
Legacy and Life Law LLC is for the most important times in your life, for the most important people in your life. Ryan, we have talked a lot about, you know, making sure that you have your affairs and your estate in order. But even if you already have your estate in order, many of the clients of Legacy and Life Law come to Brandon and they make sure that they have everything in place. And he is able to review and determine where they need additional value and what needs they may be need to fill. So in the end, life evolves, many things change, and it does make sense to take a look at your estate plan and get your affairs in order.
I just yelled at my best man this weekend. I yelled at his brother. They are both a few years older than me in their 30s, with children, with houses, with many different things, and they don't have wills. Get your stuff in order. This is me, a 30-year-old, yelling at you to make sure that you take care of your loved ones if something bad happens. So if you want to learn more and you want to make sure that you start to at least start to think about it a little bit more, go to legacyandlifelaw.com/GGR.
All right, let's get to the facts and figures of this specific game, Ryan. Again, this is the Whiteout game on ABC. This game will be taking place on October 22nd at 6:30 p.m. here in the great state of Minnesota. On the season, Penn State is 5-1. They are 3-3-0 against the spread. Minnesota is 4-2. They are 4-2 against the spread. The over-under for this game is 44.5, with Penn State favored by 4 points. If we take a look at the weather for this specific game, this will be taking place in State College. The kickoff temperature should be right around 60 degrees, Ryan, with minimal wind. It'll be partly cloudy, but there should be no precipitation. As the game concludes, probably somewhere around the 10 o'clock range, the temperature will drop down to 52. To me, that just sounds like incredibly beautiful football weather. It should be fun. The sun will set about 6:22, so this game will already be in the dark from kickoff. It'll be a fun evening of college football, and it'll be a fun environment to check out. We know how raucous this Whiteout crowd can get. And more importantly, I did take a quick look. We often joke about how much it costs to get into games. Right now, if you wanted to try to get into that game, it's going to set you back $130. I know there are a number of Gopher fans making the trek out there. Best of luck to you in getting there. It's not an easy place to get to, but more importantly, have fun.
Yeah, it should be. I know, like you said, there's going to be a lot of people that are making the trip out to either you, if you found a flight in a Happy Valley, oh, good for you, because that was a pretty penny. Or if you're, again, it's just, to me, it's a nightmare to get there. And then once you get there, it's a nightmare to find like lodging and whatnot. But for those of you who are going, this is a really, really cool atmosphere, and I hope you soak in every minute of it.
All right. So, Ryan, you know, the Gophers are, again, just a reminder, on a 44.5 over under, or a 4-point underdog. To me,
how about that, by the way? Can we discuss that just for a minute before
yes.
we get into my keys to the game? Is if we're operating under the assumption that Sean Clifford versus Ethan Calliope-Manis is going to be the courting, like the starting quarterbacks, what does Vegas know that I don't? Because I understand mm-hmm. that recency bias is a thing for both teams. Penn State's not feeling particularly good about their team. Minnesota's not feeling particularly good about their team. But I don't know how you can think that, like, they must think the world of Minnesota's offense being able to figure something out in an atmosphere like this, which, again, there's a lot of money in Vegas for a reason, and they know a lot, and there's a lot of shiny things. And I am just a wee Roseville resident, but I feel like that spread should be a lot bigger. And by the way, I believe this line opened at like 6.5, and it's been bet down to 4.
Yeah, which is wild to me. It was 6.5, has been bet down to 4. And, you know, typically they're going to give the home team about 3 points advantage. So they're really calling this on a neutral site like a 1-point favorite to Penn State. The only thing I've been trying to come up with some logic behind this, basically, if you take, you know, of the 5 or 6 games these guys or these respective teams have played, you know, they have one mutual opponent in Purdue. That was a very early game. I think we can all agree that Purdue has improved significantly probably from that first outing. But that's really the only, comparison. And part of me wonders, boy, do they really think that Purdue's improved that much and that maybe Penn State's dropped, but Penn State still ranked 16th in the country. I'm just a little bit, miffed by this, other than the fact that, you know, Penn State has struggled at times to run the ball. You know, they've seemed to, do better. And then they really struggled to stop the run against Michigan. That's all I can really get my head around with this specific line.
Yeah. I look at their schedule for Penn State and they really haven't beaten anybody not named Purdue. Peace and love.
Well, no, they beat SEC. Michigan, besides Michigan. So Michigan and Purdue, or no, they lost to Michigan. My bad. I thought you meant played. So yes, they've beaten Purdue.
Well, that's where I'm trying to say, like, peace and love to any SEC fans or Auburn, but Auburn's a horrible football team that is going to fire their coach very, very soon. Ohio is Mac, Central Michigan, Mac.
You can't really take anything out of that Northwestern game given the game.
Because it was in a monsoon.
Yeah, there's nothing you can take out of that game.
So it's like the only people that they've actually played, they won a very close game in game one, which I just don't know what to take out of game one games because there's so many new things that coordinators try to throw at one another. And then when they had an opportunity to show up off a bye week last week, they got outmatched for the entire quarter or for the entire game. Excuse me. Now the score may look better than it was at halftime, but they were outplayed for all 60 minutes of that game. And it wasn't even close. So I guess Vegas is saying, do we know that Penn State's any good? And I'm like, to be fair, that's fair. But there's a lot of questions I'm going to need answered if Minnesota is going to be able to pull out this one.
Yeah, I think we both agree that, you know, likely if we had power rankings, which I don't, and you might, but I don't think you do, I'd probably put Penn State just above Minnesota, but they're pretty close, you know, especially if they're all healthy. But that's kind of where we maybe see the slight advantage for them. I just think it's probably a little bit wider gap given what we assume about Tanner Morgan. So with that, Ryan, what are your keys to this game?
Well, you'd be shocked to know, absolutely gobsmacked, bewildered, if you may, that my number one key to the game is Minnesota's passing game needs to figure it out. Because they do. I don't know how else to put it, because if the Gophers' passing game continues to look mediocre at best, they're just not going to win many more football games. Now, it doesn't take an elite football mind to share that in Minnesota's last two games, the statistics would say the Gophers have had zero passing touchdowns and six interceptions. Now, even Luke Buehr can tell you you're not going to defeat a lot of Big Ten teams with those results, and I'm well aware that the mass has put the blame squarely on the quarterback, but I just don't see it that way. Now, I'm not saying, and let me make this clear and concise, that Tanner Morgan doesn't deserve any responsibility, because he does. He's part of the issue. But I'm just saying it goes so much bigger than him. And this is where it starts to – I'm already rubbing my temples like 45 seconds into the preamble. I don't care who the quarterback is for Minnesota, because if the receivers are going to go 1-for-11 in contested catch situations, which is the PFF data from the last two games on Minnesota, you're just not going to – have a lot of success moving the ball through the air. Like, Luke, I'm talking about contested catches, so 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
They're 1-for-11.
I think the thing you're overlooking, though, with that is the fact that, you know, for Minnesota in game, you have 11 contested catches on, let me see how many passes that was for Penn State.
They had 11 contested catch situations in their last two games, and they've only caught in one of those, and that was the Brevin Span Ford one at the 11-yard line.
Yeah, but you're of 18 pass attempts, 11 are contested. That's also a problem, too. Right.
Like, yeah, heaven forbid you create any separation, right, Luke, but right. Who am I to say?
But I mean, that's where passing is complicated, right? You and I talk about this a lot. There's a lot that has to go right, but that's one that's on, you know, it's on the receiver to run a good route, but it's also on the coordinator in the offense to put them in advantageous situations to manufacture guys open. So yeah, it's a bigger problem. It's not all a Tanner problem. We haven't even talked about the offensive line, but it's also not entirely an offensive line problem. This is a whole unit problem.
It is a whole unit problem, but we need to start with the pass catchers, because we knew somebody would need to step up without Chris Ottman Bell, Gopher's best receiver, best contested catch winner. And we saw that against Michigan State. In that game, Pro Football Focus credited them with 4 contested catch wins out of 6. Since then, they're 1-11. Just so many thoughts and feelings there about why are there so many contested catches? Because nobody's getting separation. And then when there are contested catches, you're not being able to win the 50-50 ball. But with all the issues the receivers are having, how about this, Luke? Here's a little genuine idea. How about they feature Brevin Spanford more? Maybe the guy with the highest receiving grade of all healthy pass catchers, Pro Football Focus. Now, I understand he leads the team in targets.
This is tight ends, right? That stat, that's tight ends.
He has the highest receiving grade of any Minnesota pass catcher.
Okay, got it.
Now, I understand that he's received 6 targets in each of the last 2 games, but that number needs to be closer to double digits. And if it's not Spanford, they have to figure out a way to get Daniel Jackson in space and not have an opposing offensive or defensive coordinator take him out of the game. Now, to Luke's point, Minnesota Moving Company, hello. You're not free of blame either here. You need to be more consistent in pass protection. And if the Gophers aren't going to figure out a way to help their right tackle in these obvious passing downs with either chipping a running back or a tight end, I'm not sure what to tell you. But this whole unit has to be better at not allowing pressure on their quarterback, especially if it is Ethan. Now, we've spent a lot of time on this already. I won't rehash it too much, but Tanner Morgan's questionable with an upper body injury. We don't know any more than that. Ethan Calliope-Manis, we're assuming for the purposes of this episode, is going to be the starter, which first career start in a whiteout game isn't ideal. But Penn State's passing defense ranks 2nd in pass defense efficiency in the Big Ten, only behind Illinois, a.k.a. the opponent from last week. Now, Penn State's got 2 really good corners, Kalen King, Joey Porter Jr. If you want to feel old, I'm going to say that again for you. Joey Porter Jr. So you can feel really old. They have been targeted 48 times this season, and they have allowed, as a corner group, those 2 guys, 0 touchdowns, and they've defended 14 passes. Boy, are you feeling optimistic about this one for the Minnesota passing game. But, oh, wait, there's more behind door number 2 here. They've got 4 defensive linemen with pass rushing grades of above 85, which is elite, especially by Pro Football Focus terms. They got 4 different guys with 85-plus pass rushing grades. So Minnesota Moving Company, hello. You're going to have your hands full again. I hope you're up to the challenge. So I'll just continue to scream into the ether. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, more or less. If the pass catchers can't get open, if they are going to catch under 10% of 50-50 balls, and if the offensive line can't protect them. So, a.k.a. it is time for Kirk Shiraka's offense to figure this out. Now, my second key to the game, Joe Rossi's defense needs to get back off the field like they did the first 5 weeks, because you want to know why they were on the field for, I will say this very concisely, 89 plays last week. 89 plays that defense was on the field. They couldn't get off the field on 3rd and 4th down to save their life. Now, Joe Rossi would disagree with me on that, where he would be correct in saying they were 6 of 17 on 3rd down. Well, you were 4 of 4 allowing 4th down conversions. So I don't know what we're all excited about, because on those 4 4th down conversions they let up, all 4 of those drives were extended and were led to scoring drives, and that's where 16 of the Illini's 26 points came from. You get off the field on half of those, that ball game might have been a lot different in Champaign, but that's not the reality we live in. So coming into this game, Penn State ranks 11th in the Big Ten in conference play in converting 3rd downs. Penn State in conference play is converting 3rd downs at a 31% clip. Conversely, the Gopher defense ranks 4th in the conference at allowing 3rd downs to be converted against them at a 30.8 clip. So if the Gophers are going to pull off an upset here, this is where it needs to start for the Gophers. Get off the field on 3rd down. And we've touched on it quite a bit already. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be Sean Clifford, who had a really good September, but then here in October has completed 44% of his passes for no touchdowns. Penn State in October has managed 3 offensive touchdowns so far. So We don't know which quarterback it's going to be, but if you can stop the run, you're going to have a chance to make some plays against the secondary. And then my final key, if this hasn't been made evidently clear already, don't let the moment be too bright. Because I really am not one to address atmosphere in situation, but I think it's so unique of what a whiteout game is. Night game, 6:30, ABC, 100,000 people screaming at you as an opposing team. It's going to be deafening on offense for the Gophers, and they might have a first, have a quarterback making his first career start. So that should make it extra simple for the offense that's been sputtering the last 2 weeks, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, very easy.
So PJ Fleck team has got to do their best to manage their emotions on the road, because if Penn State gets off to a quick start, it can't be, well, here we go again after the last 2 weeks. They have to manage their emotions in a primetime game.
All right, so let's get to our predictions. Again, just a reminder that the Gophers are a 4-point underdog with a 44.5 over under. So I will take the under in this situation. I'm going to go Penn State 21, Minnesota 17.
All right, so you're taking Minnesota to cover in the under. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, here's where I'm at. I think both defenses are pretty good.
I think I got a push on the spread, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you said 20-17 or 21-17?
21-17. 21-17.
Boy, heaven forbid. Like, can you go with a push? So I think we both agree. Both defenses are pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I think we both agree. We have no idea who's starting a quarterback for either team. Will it be the sixth-year veteran or the battle of the freshmen? We don't know. But where I would tell you, if this game was played in Minneapolis, I think it's different. But the reality is, playing this game at home for Penn State in what is going to be maybe their most difficult road environment of the entire season is a differentiator for me. Because how do I see the path to Minnesota winning this game? I would say two things. Number one, they're going to need a defensive touchdown. Whether it's a pick six, a scoop and score, I think their defense is going to have to do something to ignite the offense. And I think something like that in this kind of environment could do that. I also think that Mo is going to have to go nuclear for over 200 yards if that's going to happen. Now, some of you may say, well, Ryan, why can't special teams help for the second consecutive week? Luke, can you tell that person
how long you've been complaining about special
hello?
Teams?
Hello? Have you watched Gopher football for the last like 4 years? In what world has special teams helped them, number one, in a game in general? And then number two, in consecutive games. Let's not overplay our cards here, all right? You got a 7-2 offsuit, just fold it in. You don't have pocket kings. So if they're going to win, like I said, defensive touchdown in a big game from Mo, and they're going to have to be able to hit some of these down the field shots. But I just don't see Happy Valley as a place where Minnesota's passing offense starts to figure it out. I think, you know, I understand that Penn State was mollywopped on the ground last week, but I think coming back at home is a different story. I think Penn State defensive coordinator Manny Diaz dials up blitzes and loads the box. So unless something changes for these receivers, I just don't see it going well. I am going to say that with Penn State 4-1, and their last 5 whiteout games, that continues on Saturday, the Gophers fall to number 16, Penn State, 23-13. So that is a Penn State cover, and that is an under.
Longtime sponsor of the podcast, Burns Insurance, brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, if you are looking to improve your rate and save a little bit in the times when there are rising costs, I think the Burns Insurance Agency might be able to help you out.
I think they are. And again, even in between from when you heard us last on Sunday and to today, there was another Gopher fan that reached out to the Burns Insurance Agency, which is, by the way, is licensed in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, Florida, and Utah. And they were able to lower their rate on their auto insurance. So whether it's your home, whether it's your auto, whether it's your commercial, your ATV, whatever you're paying insurance for in the day and age of 2022, have an independent insurance agent who's also a gigantic Gopher fan be able to help you save some money with the holidays soon approaching. So if you want to check them out, go to insurancebyburns.com or email him at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
Let's take a look around the Big Ten for the slate of games. There are five games with 10 Big Ten teams in action. We have all Big Ten on Big Ten, as you might expect this time of year. Ryan, just take a gander at what your most expensive game is and what your least expensive game is.
Penn State's the most expensive. I cheated. I knew that. But I'm going to guess the least expensive game is Indiana at Rutgers.
Incorrect. The least expensive is Northwestern at Maryland, apparently. So let's get into this. There are two games in the morning, two games in the afternoon, one in the evening, which features your Gophers against the Penn State Nittany Lions. Iowa goes to Ohio State for their kind of, I think we're calling this their buzzsaw series. They are taking on the number two team in the country, the Ohio State Buckeyes, 11 a.m. on Fox for those of you in the central time zone. And frankly speaking, Vegas doesn't look too kindly on Iowa in this specific game. They are looking at a 49 over under with the Buckeyes, a 29 point favorite. Honestly, when I saw this, was shocked, not so much by the spread, but that they thought that Ohio State would be able to score that many points. But again, Ohio State,
The flip side, that Iowa would be able to score that many points.
Yeah, exactly. But I have to digress. The Buckeyes continue to impress me in how they're always able to score, so maybe I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, so Vegas thinks this game's going to be something like 38-10. And I could see that. I just, it's still just remarkable to me that Iowa goes into the bye week just 2 weeks, or so they were idle last week, and they don't make a change at offensive coordinator because nepotism, and they don't make a change at quarterback because cricket. I don't know why. And maybe you just don't want to throw Alex Padilla to the wolves on the road at Ohio State, which, if that's your reason, I get it. Like, if Kirk Ferentz comes out after this game and says, all right, well, we tried it with Spencer Petras, and so we're going to start Alex Padilla next week at home against Northwestern. Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. But I'll say this. I don't know how does Iowa win here besides two defensive touchdowns and a special teams touchdown, because I just don't know that anyone can slow down Ohio State. Now, if there was going to be a Big Ten defense to do it, it's Iowa. But I believe Ohio State's going to get back their best receiver in Jackson Smith and Jigba for this game. They're going to get back Mayan Williams, who just scored 5 rushing touchdowns a couple weeks ago. So Ohio State's going to be locked and loaded. And I will be tuning into this one at 11 a.m. on Fox.
All right. So the other 11 o'clock game on BTN features the Rutgers Scarlet Knights against the Indiana Hoosiers. On the season, Rutgers is 3-3. Also, Indiana is 3-4. This is a very big game for both of them in terms of bowl eligibility. If they still look, you know, they're still looking to maybe get there. Indiana having lost 4 of their last 5, pretty unlikely, and Rutgers having lost 3 of their last 5. But that said, in this game, a 48 over under, Rutgers is favored by 3 as the home team. They basically looking at this as a pick 'em, Ryan.
Is there I say this with peace and love. Is there a more just boring game than Indiana versus Rutgers?
I think if I haven't paid attention to their schedules, like going forward,
Northwestern versus Maryland, and Maryland without Taulia likely in this game. I mean, that's a dreadful game too, but it's like you have an option between two games at this 11 a.m. slot. If you're a Big Ten fan or just a college football fan, I think you're going to tune into the one on Fox, and then for the one at 2:30, I think you're going to tune into the one on ESPN. But I think for Rutgers, I believe they just fired their offensive coordinator after last week's performance, so we're going to see how that all looks. And then I believe Indiana fired their run game coordinator and offensive line coach, so I think Rutgers wins this game, so they're going to be on a little bit of momentum coming into that Gopher game next weekend here in Minneapolis, but I don't know that – I mean, it's not a fun game for me, Luke. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I don't see it as a particularly fun game either. at the one of the 2:30 games is Purdue visiting Wisconsin. Wisconsin on the season is 3-4. Purdue is 5-2. Purdue also notably is 3-1 in conference, has a chance to kind of control their own destiny as they move forward looking for their first Big Ten West title. This game, the over-under is 51, with Wisconsin surprisingly a 2.5-point favorite. I did see a tweet, and I don't know the accuracy, Ryan, but I think I saw something that Purdue hasn't beaten Wisconsin in like 18 years or something like that. I'll try and look this up to confirm.
I'll buy some time while you look that up. But like, you look at even how like they're both teams are coming in trajectory wise. You've got Wisconsin, who's last four of their last six, including three of their last four, with their lone win being over the vaunted Northwestern Wildcats. And then you have Purdue, who's white hot, who has won four straight. Now, I understand previous history and everything, but I just don't understand. Like, when this line came out, I think this line opened as Wisconsin -1, and it's been bet up to 2.5. Now, and I'll say again, Vegas always knows something that maybe I don't, and that's where Vegas sees this game somewhere around like 25-24, 27-24, something like that. And that's in a Wisconsin win at that. And that's where I'm like, Luke, I could understand that maybe Vegas has respect for the Badger defense versus the Purdue offense, but I think they're underselling what Purdue's defense has been able to accomplish. Now, I understand that, you know, since the Minnesota game, they've given up 29 and 37 points. So maybe I'm giving Purdue's defense too much respect, but yeah. It feels like the line should be the other way with Purdue -2.5. But when was the last time that the Boilermakers were able to beat Wisconsin in Madison?
October 18th, 2003. The Boilermakers won 23-26 in Camp Randall. So it's been a long time. They've only won, I think it's 15 wins in a row because they didn't play between 2006 and 2009. And I think that was probably the Legends versus Leaders era. I don't remember specifically. But yeah, I mean, boy, they've had, I think this is 15 games in a row that Wisconsin has won. I'll count again, but man, what a streak.
Well, all I could think of is in October of 2003, I was just getting into the fifth grade, for all of you who want to feel really old as you listen to this podcast tonight. But boy, I don't know what the money line is in this game for Purdue, but
money line's plus 115.
But here's the tough part is if you are a Gopher fan, you are absolutely without question rooting for Wisconsin here because you need to start to find some losses for Purdue outside of maybe the Illinois game. So this is one that if Minnesota is going to have some resemblance of a shot in the West, again, that 5% or whatever it may be left, Minnesota number one has to win this weekend. And then number two, they're going to need the Badgers to actually win as a home favorite.
All right. The last game we'll preview and the last game in the afternoon session. Again, a 2:30 kick features the Northwestern Wildcats 1-5 against the Maryland Terrapins 5-2. This is a over under a 51 with a 13.5 spread in favor of the Maryland Terrapins. As we know, poor Northwestern has not won a game since their opening win against Nebraska. And conversely, Maryland is currently 5-2. They have some good wins. They have the SMU win, they have the Michigan State win, the Indiana win. But you know, they do have losses to both Purdue and Michigan on their conference record as well. So I think Maryland's better, but the loss of Tulia is quite a bit.
Yeah, so for this game, Taulia is actually a game time decision, allegedly. And I say allegedly with a lot of sarcasm in my voice because I believe Mike Loxley came out and said that Taulia has a right knee sprain. And let me tell you, Luke, do you know when the Terrapins bye week is by chance?
Next week, probably, just because it seems to be a trend in the Big Ten of late.
Seems to be a trend, and you would be correct, my friend. Is why in the world would Maryland, who still can have some aspirations here, ever play Taulia in this game against a dreadful Northwestern team? Why wouldn't they just ground and pound it with Roman Hemby and Antoine Littleton? Like, you can rest him and just give Billy Edwards his start. Give him an extra week off the bye week because, I mean, they still have meaningful games that they want to be able to compete in November. Like, I mean, their November schedule is on the road in Madison, on the road at Happy Valley, home game against Ohio State, home game against your Rutgers Scarlet Knights, a.k.a. the Fighting Joe Harris Simiaks. So in what world is Taulia ever going to play in this game? I know Mike Loxley's probably just playing mind games, but you shouldn't need Taulia in this game to beat Northwestern. Do I think it's probably going to be ugly without Taulia in this game for Maryland?
For sure.
Probably at times. But who cares if you win 28-14 or something, you know, something really wonky like, I don't know, 33-14, whatever it may be. Like, you don't need him. You need to rest him to make sure he's right for that Madison game in a couple weeks.
All right. We want to thank all of you for listening. Should be a fun game to break down. You know, obviously.
We get Derek back for the breakdown.
We
this
do.
Week, right?
It'll be fun to get his perspective. Maybe he'll weigh in a little bit on the Illinois game as well. But again, thank you for listening. Appreciate every one of you that listens. And most importantly, please support our sponsors, the Goal Line Club, Legacy Life and Law, the Burns Insurance Agency, and Caps Customs. Again, thanks for listening and go Gophers. We'll be right back.